Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio and Tweetbird Central. So make sure y'all tune in, man. Tag a friend. Let them know what's going on. Tell them, man, it's a new hot artist in this motherfucker, and they're going to want to listen to it. So tap in.
Well, baby, welcome to Total Blog Blackness, bro. Could you tell the people who you are, where you at, and something about you? You know, how you got started in this rap game and what motivated you to get in here?
Man, I'm gonna say this, you know what I'm saying? I'm thankful and I appreciate y'all for accepting me on y'all's show. You know, I'm just like, you know what I'm saying, any other brother that, you know, any other black young man that come out the hood, you know what I'm saying? I grew up in poverty, you know what I'm saying? I'll put it in a situation where I ain't have no choice but to get out there and do bull, you know what I'm saying? So the music came in where, you know what I'm saying, I had to find something else to do. You know what I mean? I couldn't work. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't many other hobbies I could do other than, you know what I'm saying, after school, get with my homeboys, and we'd just get together and freestyle. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it turned to any, many, minor mode. So now, you know what I'm saying, I'm just telling my life. You know what I mean? Like I said, I done had a rough road at an early age. You know what I mean? I know as many people out there that done had a rough road they self. You know what I'm saying? My purpose of my music is, you know what I'm saying, not to, you know what I'm saying, glorify the fact that, you know, you can go down the road or sometimes you gotta put in work. You know what I'm saying? I ain't glorifying that. My message is to get to some people that, you know, them been through what I've been through that don't know how to vent their problem. You know what I mean? Going off the top ain't the first option. You know what I'm saying? Make that your last resort. You know what I mean? Vent on paper, you know what I'm saying? Put your life on that paper and go back and listen to it, and that's going to remind you every day of why you need to get to where you need to get to.
Too many ways. Nigga, they stay in the way. Yeah, I just stay in my lane. Nigga be wanting it. you know, we've been taking the precautions. We've not been traveling. We haven't, we didn't do anything for the summer. We just been like totally isolated. And I think it's taking a toll on the both of us, and it was really taking a toll on me this week. Even though I surrounded myself with graphics and work and, you know, meditating and praying, it just is, it was like everything just wasn't enough. It was just like really trying to defeat me this week. But I came out on top of things, you know, and just shook it off. And so I'm here and I'm ready. And I'm excited about our guest that we have for tonight. Pastor Michael Jackson is going to be with us, and I'm excited about that when we get to chat it up with him. So, yeah, my week has been crazy. It was just crazy. But we do have
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was just going to say we do have Common in the building, just to let you know, FYI. But, yeah, that's how my week went. And what were you saying?
Oh, that's what I was about to do. I was about to ask Common how was his week and how is things going for him on this good Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Hey, people. It's been a long week. Snow came. We had 16, 18 inches. Work shut down. City shut down for a little while, but we moving again. So I'm good.
So when your job shut down, do you get to file for, like, unemployment benefits for then, or you just take a loss every time something like that happens?
We state, so we get paid.
Regardless, okay, facts, okay.
Yeah, regardless, no matter what, we still get paid.
That's
the benefit of a union sometimes.
That is a key thing. That's one of the points we're going to hit on tonight, too, about being in a union or unionizing once we get to our guests. And that's going to lead into why I chose to register the non-profit portion of my name today. Also dealing with our great guest, Pastor Michael Jackson. So, yeah, bro. And I'm glad everything is good. We got a lot of snow, too. I hate snow. I hate ice. I ain't going to say I hate it, but I dislike it with a passion. I'm a tropical brother. I'm dark skinned. I'm tall. So the heat, that's what's up for me.
And let me congratulate you on your nonprofit. Keep the good work going. We need more positive black men. Keep going.
Thank you, King. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Don't let them tell you nothing different. Nothing different.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. Stay positive. And when there's a way, God will find a path for you, bro. Just keep on going.
For sure. Those are facts.
For
sure. Yes, indeed.
All right, Anton, we don't want to hold up Pastor Mike because he might have things that he want to get into later on this evening. So we're going to bring him on into the building and have a formal introduction, and I'm going to pass the mic to you, Anton.
Okay. So I was scrolling my Facebook one morning, and, you know, I try to find the news and what the community needs to know and what's going on. And some told me to just keep reading. I read the beginning of his post, and lo and behold, the brother has completed something that me and many other of the reentry board members, volunteers, community workers have been trying to do for so long. To me, he won in a billion. I don't know the actual statistics, but reading to the end of his post, I found out that the brother has started, like many of us, either selling drugs, shooting guns, pimping females, different things, and catching a felony that is a permanent tattoo on your skin. And I mean that literally and figuratively, because you can't see it once they run your name, it's there. So this brother had achieved not only getting his record taken care of, he went further and asked for pardons and expungements and even clearing and wiping his record clean. So I wrote the brother and I was like, I know he probably busy. I know he probably going to be like, what is this show, Total Blackness? Who is this guy? But I just kept it real with him and asked him, could he hop on the platform and explain why. And I know he has did something that many slaves, Jim Crow brothers and sisters, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X marching brothers and sisters, all the way up to us, thought was not possible, and he got his name back. So when you become a felon per the 13th Amendment, the only place you can be a slave is a felon or in prison. So even when you're post-release, you're still a slave to the United States government. And what it really means when you say I've expunged my felonies and had my record wiped is that you have your freedom back. You're a citizen again. And many of us black men, brown men need that before we leave here, that closure to know that we just wasn't tricked and that was the end of the game. No matter how much we give back and no matter how much rehabilitation and praying to God, we are still a felon and a slave till we leave here. And it was a trick to get us there anyway. So I would love to introduce to you guys, that was very long-winded, but it was necessary to say, Pastor Michael Jackson, he is a superman to me. He is a hero. He has achieved things that I look forward to achieving in the near future. Sir, say hello to the people and proper introduction, pronouns. I'm sure those are not necessary, but pronouns, any titles, and just let the people know who you are, brother.
Well, first of all, let me say good evening and thank you for the opportunity to come and share. This is a little overwhelming for me because I did not think that one simple Facebook post of me sharing my thoughts, my feelings of where I've been over the last 19 years would land me here. You don't have to call me Pastor. You can just call me MJ. You can call me Michael. Whatever you see fit. I'm not one that's hung up on titles. I'm just a normal guy born and raised Lexington, Kentucky, on the east end of Lexington, raised by a single mother. And you gotta excuse me, I'm a little nervous, but that's just who I am. I'm just a normal guy who made some mistakes in life, and I'm not sure what else you want me to say at the moment.
Well, trust me, you are more than just a normal brother. You are a catalyst. Mm-hmm. You are a beginning to something great, freedom for a lot of brothers. Your story and the path you took to freedom, that's like Harriet Tubman. That's like, the Underground Railroad. That's the North Star. You feel me? So I will keep it real. I'm going to call you Mike. You my brother. I'm going to call you Mike. But my first question is, when I was reading your story, you said as a young man, your life started off a little different. So can we start there? Like your thought process, where you was at up until where they kicked in your door and told you, hey, come with us and we'll see you at court.
So my mother moved to Cincinnati. She got remarried when I was 14 years old. I ended up staying with my dad for a short period of time in the inner city of Lexington. Then I moved in with my grandfather, who lived in the inner city, but kind of like walking distance from the project. So I was always around the life, for instance. Graduated high school, had a baby. My daughter was at my high school graduation. So I graduated at 19. My daughter was about 2 months old at my high school graduation. I went to enrolled at Kentucky State University, attempted to walk on the baseball team, and I was broke. I had no job. I had a child. I was a full-time student. I needed a full-time job, and it was in that moment I realized that I needed to do something. And so I did get a job, but what really did it for me was when I got my first check and they had took child support out of my check. My check was $1.27. And I said, how am I supposed to live? I said, how am I supposed to live? So here I am, a freshman at Kentucky State University, living in the dorms. I'm driving back and forth from Frankfort to Lexington after class, working 12 to 7, and my check for 2 weeks was $1.27. And I said, I need to do something. And because I grew up pretty much in the inner city, in the hood, I knew where to get put on it. So I hollered at one of my partners. I said, look, I said, I need to get put on. And it was at that moment, his name shall remain nameless. It was that moment he gave me a quarter ounce of weed. I sold it. I went back. He gave me a half ounce of weed. I sold it. I went back. He gave me another ounce of weed. I went back. Well, I sold it. I went back, and it just matriculated very fast. Next thing I know, I was moving half pounds and pounds. And then from there, I'm taking trips to Cincinnati, to Alabama, to Atlanta. And I'm not talking we're going for half a pound, 2 pounds, but we were going for 10, 15, 20, sometimes 30 pounds a week. Mm-hmm. And it was the moment when I felt like I was broke, I needed money, and that was the way that I could get it.
So when the police finally did come and they locked you up and everything, what were you facing?
Well, when the police showed up at my house, kicked in my door, I had 25 pounds of weed, $127,000 in cash. I was looking
baller.
I was looking at, I was charged with felony trafficking with the intent to distribute, felony trafficking, and then two misdemeanor charges where a guy that I was in the game with, he had actually set me up with an undercover. And so he had set me up with an undercover. And so there were two actually buys that I did with him and an undercover. And so they tacked those two charges on top of the possession with the intent to distribute and the felony trafficking charge.
Okay.
Wow.
So when you went to
it's always
so February. Yeah, this was February 2001. I had just turned 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, I had withdrew from Kentucky State, and I had quit my job at the dry cleaners, but I was actually working at a bank, and so I was like the weed man at the bank.
Coins and cannabis. So when you finally was arrested, we're going to fast forward. You went to court. So did you end up pleading out, or did they convict you of a crime? And what did they convict you of, or did you plead to?
I pled guilty just because of the surveillance, the pictures, the phone calls, the taps, and everything that they had on me. My lawyer had suggested that we not go to trial. So we went back and forth with the court several continuances, because we were looking for a plea agreement. They dropped the possession with the intent to distribute, but I pled guilty to the felony trafficking charge, over 8 ounces, over 5 pounds as well, and the two misdemeanor charges that were done with the undercover. Initially, I was looking at 7 to 15 years. Really, it about 12 years is what I was initially looking at.
And so when you were convicted, was it like a F1, F2, F3?
I pled, well, of course, Kentucky is a Commonwealth state, so I pled guilty to a Class B felony. Yeah, I pled guilty to a Class B felony and two misdemeanors.
Okay. So now, did you have to serve time? Did they put you on community control or probation, parole, or anything? Or did you? So what was the actual?
Initially, I served 2 days in jail, bonded out. So initially, my bond when I was arrested was $50,000 full cash. I didn't have, well, I had $50,000 full cash, but they took it.
right, they had $50,000 in cash.
So when I went in for my arraignment, I had no idea that a private attorney was going to show up on my behalf. My dad and my grandfather had called an attorney. Of course, there was a rule that if you did not have a private attorney, do not ask for a bond reduction. Because it wasn't going to happen. I had a private attorney show up. My bond was $50,000 full cash, but my attorney had started talking and done some, picked some language that I had never heard before. And so my bond went from $50,000 to $7,500, and then they 10%ed the $7,500. And so I got out for $750. When I got out, I signed my bond over to my attorney because to retain an attorney was $1,500. The attorney showed up. My dad had paid for it. And so I signed my bond over to my attorney. And then when I got out, my dad, when he picked me up, he said, "Now let's go get my money."
Oh, my God.
So I spent a total of 2 days in jail. I did 4 years of supervised probation, but I was released early because of there was no concern that they were worried about me.
Okay, so now with that being said, you guys got anything to add before we take a little short break and then get to the meat and potatoes, or you want to continue on?
Okay, we're going to continue on. And let's see. I really want to, so we've gotten to this point. So I really want to know, like, what are you doing now, and how did you get to a better position and place than you were after you left the facility?
Okay, so I was only there 2 days. I only did 2 days in jail.
Okay.
Bonded out. Of course, I couldn't go across county lines until I had finished with my court case and sentencing. Even while being on probation, I had to get a travel permit to travel across state lines. There was a couple times I had traveled across state lines, got pulled over, and had to show them my travel permit. And sometimes they wouldn't really even honor the travel permit that I had. So I had to take a ride down to the station. They had to call my probation officer and speak with my probation officer to let them know that, yes, he has permission to travel out of the state, let him go.
Well, see, the thing is, I did 4 years community control, which is still like supervised probation, state property, and it's not easy. You know, even if you get permits and pass and do classes, you're still treated like a prisoner that's, you know, governed by the community. So anything you do is with a punishment over your head to go to prison and serve the rest of that time out. So it's not an easy thing to do, not to get in an argument, to show up for everything they require of you. And the amazing part is after you did complete What was the first thing that you did to start removing things from your record, straightening out the things that were supposed to be permanent on your record?
Well, first I had to wait. I had to wait and make sure that I did not get into any more trouble. It's a 7-year wait from your last day of probation to the day you can request of the state a restoration or rights or for pardon documentation. So I walked the straight and narrow pretty much for that 7 years. My first attempt at my pardon was denied. That was a little frustrating, heartbreaking as well. But I also know that there were some things that I could have done, that I should have done, that I didn't do to get my pardon the first time. So what I wanted to do was, because Kentucky had implemented a expungement law, what hurt me the most was that, yes, my charges was a Class C felony. There were Class B felonies that were on the expungement list, but felony trafficking in marijuana was not on that list. So I basically had to walk through from the 7 years from my last day of probation to, one, request for my restoration of rights. You submit that to the Office of the General Counsel. Now we're talking 3 governor administrations in the time that I got off probation up until today. Well, last week when I got my expungement in the mail. So we're talking 3 different governor administrations, 3 different political affiliations. I hate to say it, but I had to play the game. I had to play the game. The first time that I submitted for my pardon, I was a registered Democrat and a Republican was in office. It was denied. So I changed my political affiliation. Even though I could not vote, I still changed my political affiliation because the last 2 governors prior to have been Republican. So I changed my political affiliation. When I submitted my request for restoration of rights, there was a Republican governor in office.
Okay, and was Trump in the presidential seat at the time?
No, he was not. He was
Obama.
That's a good thing.
Yes, Obama was the president when I submitted for my restoration of rights.
And exactly how long did that process take?
That process takes about 6 from the time you call and ask them to send you that paperwork. You have to make sure that paperwork is complete and correct. If not, they shred it. They don't even tell you what was wrong on your paperwork.
That's kind of cold.
Yeah. And so I sent that information in. I got a return letter that said, this is your case number. And it was more so, please be patient. So that you can't call them. You can't call them and ask them, is there an update? Either they're going to give you a write back or they're not. One day, I checked the mail. I got a package in the mail that has a restoration of rights certificate. Also, with a voter's registration card, there's a letter that says, congratulations, you know, you gained your restoration of rights. You can now hold political office. You can now vote.
And so was that your final step, or did you have to do some other things to get your record cleared?
So my restoration of rights for Kentucky does not mean that my record's clear. I could vote as a felon now. So I'm a felon, but I've paid my debt to society. I've requested to the Office of the General Counsel for restoration of rights. So now, as a felon, I can vote and I can hold political office, but I didn't want to stop that. It was then, once I got my restoration of rights back, because my charges are not on the expungement list, I had to get a pardon from the governor. So I called the Office of the General Counsel, had them mail me another packet that needed to be completed for a gubernatorial pardon. Matt Bevin, who is a Republican governor, was the governor at the time that I submitted it. You submit it. They send you a paperback saying they received it. Here's your case number. Now it's just a waiting game. But by the advisory of my attorney, he said, never send your pardon request on a non-election year because it just sits on the desk. So I waited until it was an election year, which was 2019, before I sent my pardon request. Because what the governor does is the governor and his office, they sit down and they actually go through the pardon request and then they grant them or they don't before he leaves office in January. So December 2019, I got my pardon. I got my pardon from the governor.
That is phenomenal. That is definitely phenomenal. Common, do you have any questions for our guest?
Hold on one second. I just want to say to Anton. Now, he asked me, Common and DJ Sergeant Rock, y'all heard him ask me, did I have any questions? And then he just took back over and just took it and never allowed me to finish my thoughts or nothing.
Wow.
So I just wanted to put that out there. But go ahead, Common.
Queen, hold on, Common. We're gonna let Sweet do her thing because I really apologize, and she is correct. I am so sorry. I was looking for a certain point, and I did do that. So, man.
No, it's no need to ask me now because
I apologize.
You have completely covered all ground. You know,
you said you had one question.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
one
he gets to ask 15 questions and I get one question. Okay.
Wow.
No, my thing was I wanted to ask, was it a hard task to be able to, you know, get back into the voting process? Was it hard to get back to, you know, to be a registered voter? But you really covered all of that when you was talking, you know, so that was my next thing. But, Common, you can go ahead now, sister. I just had to let that man know how he interrupted
me
and never come back.
I can't even argue that. And I'm a great debater, but I can't debate that fact.
I'm back to the same thing. She only said she had one question. That's what you said. She said, I got one question.
Good luck, bro. Thank you.
Oh, man. But
okay,
I want to congratulate him on them. I want to congratulate him on the work he's doing because it took a lot. I know people that had their little misdeeds expunged, and it took forever and ever. I just want to congratulate him, man. He got out the system. He's not a slave to that system no more. He can still do what he wants to do, stay on that positive lane. And what I really want to do is hope you do is reach out to the other brothers, try to make them reach, you know, make them listen and try to tell them there's a better way. But we all know that quick money is hard to turn it down. So
I just want you
to keep reaching out to the younger brothers because they need to realize if you don't do the right thing, they'll lock you up and throw away the key. They even setting you up now. Even if they don't like you, they throwing guns in your car and saying it's yours.
Right, that's right.
Keep that positivity and showed the other younger blacks or browns or whatever, all people, a better way. And you done that.
Yeah,
you got your rights back. You got your rights back. And I commend you on that. I commend you. And it's I'm one of those that feel real good when I see another black man doing something positive. Because that negativity stuff, it's out there, man. That can snatch us up in a heartbeat. And we swear it's good. And we swear it's good. But you know what? It's one way to take it to hell. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, congratulations. I'm deeply happy that you got your voting rights back. Because that's one thing that we fought a long time for. And having keep taking it away from you, I'm glad you got it back. That's all I'm going to say with that. I'm glad you got it back. Keep up
that
positive work. And please reach out to the younger brothers. Try to make them realize you was there, but you're not there no more. Try to make them realize you don't have to go that same route that I went. It's always something different. Always something new. But, you know, we hard-headed. We got to do it our way. We hard-headed, man.
You so right, bro.
We got to do it our way, man. And then when you get that quick money, man, you can't tell us nothing.
Yeah, it changes your life. And I was one who really, I was, you know, they say people have addictions to whether it's the substance, alcohol. I was addicted to the money and the lifestyle.
Right. Right, It is addictive. You know what I'm saying? I know cats that come up way back in the day. They didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they didn't toot, they didn't snort, they ain't do none of that. But they sure got us some goddamn money. I can tell you that. they was on that money. I'm talking about they was on that money. I'm talking about for real, for real. And I still know brothers to this day that's like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't smoke, they don't drink. They don't even do the hookah. They don't do nothing. But they get money though. You know what I'm saying? On everything. Yeah. Trill.
I hear you.
That's the truth. All right, you guys, we're gonna pause right here for a minute and we're gonna get into some of this Uncle Goo's neat hugs. I'm gonna come back and we're gonna talk a little bit more with MJ
hugs.
And we're gonna some information from him or how people can get a hold of him. Maybe even some people that's looking for mentors. I'm quite sure he'll give you all of that information. So you guys hang on tight. Don't go nowhere. Uncle Goose, we need some hugs.
Big Ray, great sound online. Living in these times getting rough, especially when you ain't feeling the love. We need hugs. These uncertain times is getting rough. To make a day to day of getting tough. It's strange to see the thunder and lightning without the raindrops. Niggas drown themselves and they liquor until the pain drops. To be successful in this life is kinda tough, but I let you stand up under my umbrella till the rain stops. Cause hell, we all need some help at times. Just like these new rappers, they all need some help with rhymes. Don't get me wrong, I ain't dissing, I'm just saying that the game is watered down and the talent levels on decline. Gotta rap about money they know they not getting. Then get mad when real rappers say they not spitting. They gave the game to the kids, and just like anything nice you give the kids, they fuck it up. And I'm not kidding. They took grown men off and put plenty teens on it. They took men clothes off and put skinny jeans on it. And all these youngsters want beef, but when it comes to do the time, I think they turn to vegetarians cause they don't want it. Living in these times getting rough, especially when you ain't feeling the love. We need hugs. These uncertain times are getting rough. To make it day to day is getting tough. We need a couple months of
ago. I can cough, sneeze, and rub on my eye. Now if I do that shit too close, the folks, they think they gon' die. Cause somebody on the TV told them viruses can fly. Here's a mask, cover your mouth, not your ears or your eyes. Matter of fact, give me 6 feet, go stand by the blue X. Stay in your house and do what you told, a nigga, you next. But black people don't get that shit. Blacks are dying faster than everybody else. What's the very next statistic? But it's no coincidence. See, if it's bad, we gon' get it. The media pushing these numbers, but I don't know that many with it. Tim Murphy felt sick, but he was just losing his mind again. They said he had corona. It was just too many Heinekens. With pre-existing conditions and bad food habits. They say you sick, you say I'm not. They say you asymptomatic. They gave you stimulus to push this agenda, hoping that you remember when you show up to the polls in November. That's some bullshit. Living in these times getting rough, especially when you ain't feeling the love. We need hugs. These uncertain times is getting rough. To make a day to day is getting tough. We need hugs.
Getting crazy out there, man.
Whatever you do.
We need hugs.
Shit crazy out here right now, y'all. We need hugs. Yo, this for everybody that lost their life in this shit with these crooked ass cops, yo.
Sandra Bland.
We ain't taking that shit no more.
Eric Garner.
We about to rise up.
Laquan McDonald. So, hey,
this that Can't Breathe challenge. Everybody's breathing this
Freddie
shit.
Gray.
Everybody take this shit
Marcus
in. Everybody Thomas. Share this shit.
George
it's
Floyd.
Going down, man.
Don't stop.
Let's go. Listen, I can't breathe like I had an asthma attack. No, it's a cop with his knee on my back. Matter of fact, I can't. I didn't rob, steal, or even do crack. So I assume just because that I'm black. And I told you I couldn't. That's when you smiled and applied more force. Then press harder when my voice got hoarse. Get off my neck, I can't. Is this that training that you get in the force? It seems to be, cause it's the same from LA to New York. They killing niggas for sport. And the cops play for the home team. Now we gotta play the game that they playing and make our own team. Shit. It took 4 yards to take down one. While the man cried for his wife and his son. After he said he couldn't. What kind of man do that whole shit, bro? Then justify it, that's that whole shit, though. But if we did that to the cops, I swear it'd turn into a race war. Some shit our kids gon' have to pay for. In this country, we can't, or even look wrong without getting the nice stick. They lock us up and call us a felon and get our rights stripped. Now we can't even vote for who we want to represent us. Feeling helpless, and right back to the hood is where they sent us. I swear, some of y'all couldn't stand and be black for 3 days. And the racist that system, I spell America with 3 K's. Now it's this virus that some believe in, some doubt. Is it here to help the cops take us out? Fuck this mask, I can't breathe. When you got your knees pressed against my back, chest against the ground, how I'm supposed to breathe? When you got the deck stacked against the blacks and you hold us down, how we supposed to breathe? When you got your knee pressed against my back, chest against the ground, how I'm supposed to breathe? When you got the deck stacked against the blacks and you hold us down, man, we can't breathe.
Knows that the black community faces heightened institutional and cultural trauma, epigenetic trauma, in fact, and we know that we must provide resources on those different forms of trauma. Black political education and then our healing-informed care curriculums are how we plan to shift this culture. Our second goal is focused on increasing engagement. We plan to boost black voter turnout in key districts across the state by leveraging the relationships we build with individuals through our classes. We recruit them as volunteers to host canvassing and lobbying actions, and then together the black staff, black participants, and community leaders will come together to push for systemic change at every level of government the black community needs.
All right. We are back.
And at the roundabout,
takes
the second.
We're going to get, I want to ask y'all a question. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask MJ this question.
All right.
Who freed us as a people? Who freed us?
Good question.
That is a good question. Are we really free?
Uh-huh.
I have to say nobody. But
nobody, huh?
But freedom is a mentality to me. Even though I was a felon, and, well, a felon, I was still free.
Right.
Right on.
I was still free. But goodness, you know, I guess I could say I think a little bit differently than everybody else. Even though I had a felony on my record, I didn't want to be a slave in my mind. That
right.
My felony helped me.
Thank you.
Or I didn't even buy into the stereotype.
All right. Nice
what a felony.
How long are you going to be driving?
And time.
I just noticed. I just muted it. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm
we
sorry.
We all hear you, brother.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm getting dropped off at home. I just got off of work, so y'all going to have to excuse me multitasking.
Okay. We're sorry, MJ. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I did not want a felony. You know, the stereotypes of a felon dresses like this, talks like this, acts
right.
like this.
Right.
I didn't buy into that stereotype. So even though I was a felon, had a felony on my record, I didn't present myself as an individual that had a felony on his record. So I could walk into job interviews, and then when they run my background check, the felony comes up. But because of the way I interviewed and the way I presented myself, and if they ask, I told them up front, yes, I am
right.
a felon. That didn't matter. That didn't matter to them.
Right.
So I didn't buy into the once a felon, always a felon. You're always going to end up with a dead-end job. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
As a felon, and I paid my own way, because with a drug charge, it was hard for me to go to school and get financial aid. So
right.
I paid for battle right. out of my own pocket. I paid for seminary out of my own pocket. And through it all, God made a way for all this to happen.
That right?
That's what's up. True. The reason why I asked that question is because I was learning, like, we had a meeting this week at the Freedom Block, and we're always learning new things. And we talked about who freed us, because in school we learned that, of course, the Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln was supposed to have in slavery. But in a letter that he wrote to Horace Greeley, he says that his objective, what he is focused on, is saving the Union. It had nothing to do with no slaves. He didn't care about freeing no slaves. So I just wanted to bring that point out, you know, as far as educating our kids, educating, you know, the whole history books and all of that stuff needs to be rewritten, because it's inaccurate and it's not correct. at all.
That is.
You want to give credit to Abraham Lincoln for freeing some slaves, and he didn't set up and wrote a letter out and told you that that's not his intention. His intention is for the Union, and it had nothing to do with the slaves at all. But by him doing that, he left some people out, because the people that was on the outside, on the border states, those were the Union. They were affiliated with the Union, so he had left that part of freeing out. So now he had to focus on the end of slavery, because the focus could no longer be saving the Union, but to end slavery, you know, so that there's a possibility for all of this. So it's just that I asked you that question because have we ever been free, really? Because the 13th Amendment says you're free until you get locked up. You know, and then you're a slave still, and now the focus is on you, because you can still be a slave as long as you're locked up. And then we allow these private prisons. Okay, we can buy a prison and house all the slaves we want and make the money off of these slaves. Like, all of this whole system is a slave system. And if we're saying that America is a free place, then we got to get rid of this slave system. And that's what black people are saying when we say systemic racism. You know, it stems from what's written, you know, in your Constitution and all of these amendments that's supposed to be helping out, but not really helping out.
But technically, all right, we were free people anyway. Right? Mm-hmm. They came and got us and turned us into bondage and slavery. We were already free. So Abraham Lincoln didn't do anything except try to take away that slave mentality that they was throwing at us, but we were free people anyway. We were running around in the forest, in the woods. The only thing we had to worry about was lions and tigers. We wasn't worrying about nothing else. We were already free. We were already free. We became slaves when they snatched us up.
Okay,
had already happened at that point. The snatching up had already taken place, and people was working, you know, they was wanting to be free. You know, and they were excited about this. This was supposed to free them. And he was like, no, that's not the focus. And when we were going through the meeting, even today, now if you take the language that Abraham Lincoln was speaking, like, I don't care about these slaves. It sounds to me like Proud Boy talk. If you listen to the Proud Boys and the Trump supporters and things that they say sometimes, and you read back at some of the things that were written in that time, it's the same language. It's the same talk. It's a different era, but it's the same language. It's the same talk. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All of those years have passed, and it's the same thing. You know?
Always gonna be the same thing. They always gonna think they're better than us, just because they're lighter. That's just the way it is. They think we're ignorant. But yet, we had a black man do a heart transplant. We had a black man do brain surgery. We even had a black president.
Black people, period, have built this country. There's no question about that. It's not even up for debate.
They stole everything that they know from us. They stole everything that they know from us. A black man has done so much, and the black woman. You know what I'm saying? These white folks wouldn't have been able to survive without our help. You know what I'm saying? We showed them how to take baths. They weren't even taking no baths. They was running around smelling like wet dogs and shit. You know what I'm saying? We taught them how to take a goddamn bath. You know what I'm saying? And these are facts. This ain't nothing that you know, I heard yesterday. These is facts. You know what I'm saying? A black man made the traffic light. A black man made the cotton gin. A black man built the first car. You know what I'm saying? Like, the black man has done so much for this country. You know what I'm saying? And to constantly, excuse my expression, to constantly get shitted on, like we are nothing, like we ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? That's why, you know, a significant amount of people is waking up. You know what I'm saying? And they hip to what the government and if all parties involved is putting down, and you know, they having second thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these people are really, really thinking about their next moves, how they gonna live, what's gonna happen, the vaccines, COVID. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got people that's really, really thinking about this. So shout out to everybody that's taking care of themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Don't forget, they took our music too.
There was no rock and roll.
There was no rock and roll. They took our blues song and added guitar and called it rock and roll. They took our music.
Yo, but at the same time, a black man started that. You see what I'm saying? Everything that they stole, they got from us. Period. Case point blank, everything.
Well, I just wanted to bring that out because we had a little conversation on that. I'm sorry, Anton. I was just telling them that we had a little conversation on that in our meeting, and I was just wanting to get their thoughts on who freed us. And I'm passing the mic back to you now.
Yeah, because I did want to speak to that and ask him, like, so with your newfound freedom, what would you tell young people who haven't caught their felony, but they definitely on the way to that? What would you say to them today about your journey, just in your own words?
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I have a 10-year-old son, and my job as a father is to make sure he doesn't make the same mistakes that I made. There's a lot of young people here in our city that are losing their lives over some of the internet beef or whatever it is, whatever the case, something petty. And it's not worth it. Excuse my language, the 19 years of hell that I went through is not worth it. I sleep real good at night, man. You go to bed wondering if somebody gonna kick in your door and try to rob you. You go to bed at night wondering if this is the night the police kick in your door and take you out, even when you got your hands up. And you're surrendering. So I look at where my life has gone over the last 19 years, and my word to these young people is, one, it's not worth it. Two, get out now. Because you can find gainful employment. And really, it's to find an older brother that's been through it and ask him, how did you get out? Because I have to be honest, if the police would have never kicked in my door, I think my life was headed strictly for destruction. And that was completely, I wasn't raised that way. I had great family support, all of the above, grew up in the church, but that $1.27 check did it for me.
I hear you on that one.
Trill.
I think if I got a $1.27 check, I'd have ran to the streets too.
Quick. Yeah.
Powerful.
Now that's trill.
Yeah, but, I'd like to thank you for coming through. I don't know if any of the other hosts have anything to talk to you about or ask you, but I definitely appreciate you stopping through, sharing your story. Anything you ever want to come back and discuss on any of our platforms, you're welcome. And anybody else have anything to say, go ahead.
Tweety, go ahead.
I just want to thank our guests for coming on Total Blackness tonight. And like Anton said, you're welcome to come back at any time. And maybe we can get you over here one night to co-host with us and talk to some more people about blackness and being black and the importance of loving yourself and taking the proper precautions to be safe.
I'm open to that. Completely open to that for the simple fact that even in that 19 years, there were some mental health issues. There were some times when I wanted to kill myself. I found myself at a mental health facility for a few days just because not loving myself as I should as a black man and then even as a pastor, there's so much weight that is and was on my shoulders at the time. I really didn't know how to deal with it. The stigma that black people don't go to therapy is a lie. Therapy changed and saved my life. Therapy changed my life as a black man.
Absolutely. Salute you on that. And please excuse our DJ Sergeant Rock. He has a cussing demon. he needs somebody
hey,
to
I'm sorry, Tweety. I understand that.
I tell people all the time that don't change who you are because I'm around. I honestly believe that Jesus didn't change who he was when he was around the common folk. I got a t-shirt on right now that says half holy, half hood. That's the t-shirt I got on right now because, one, I never forget where I come from. Yes, I may be a pastor, but you push the right button, you can still get these hands, and then I'll pray for you.
Try
Jesus.
Don't try me.
Cause I hold these hands.
You already know. Okay, you guys, we got a caller on the line, Anton. We're gonna bring him in here. 5898 is the last four of your digits. And who do we have?
Hello, I'm a caller from Kentucky.
Hey.
Hey.
And Kentucky? I just wanted to know about how, MJ, how have you used your story to help the cause for Christ?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Thank you, Kentucky, for representing. There are several things that I have done. One, I actually do a mission trip every year with a group from a college in Kentucky. We go to Florida. We do a prison ministry, maximum security prison ministry tour. We do several, anywhere from 3 to 7 maximum security prisons in Florida. And with those students, what we do is we go into the maximum security prison. And there's tons of stories that I could tell you, but because of the hours, I won't get into a lot of that. But we basically use sports as an avenue. We play flag football, basketball, softball with the inmates. Then we share the plan of salvation. With that plan of salvation, if individuals accept Christ, we have a chapel service. We actually baptize them inside of the prison. It's kind of funny, me at the time over the last 8 years being a convicted felon, I'm not even supposed to be walking inside of a maximum security prison as a felon. However, somehow it happened.
God is good.
There are some other things. I teach financial literacy also. Not only do I want people to be mentally free, but I also teach people how to be financially free, how to get out of debt without using credit repair services and things like that. It's really a change of a mindset and your spending habits. So I also teach financial literacy. I do some mentoring as well. It's funny because all of these things happened to me and for me while I was a convicted felon, volunteering in the schools, which is unheard of with a felony on your record, but it happened. Walking into a prison, but it happened. I worked for 3 nonprofits over the course of the last 19 years, walked into substance abuse programs and taught fatherhood, taught financial literacy, taught a few other things. So I've used my own personal experience as the plug, you know, if I was to use that vernacular, to use it to better not only myself, but the people that I encounter.
Absolutely. Awesome. I don't know if I can still be heard, but I just want to say thank you to this blog and to you, Pastor Jackson, for sharing your story with so many people. There's so many people of color, people who are seeking, don't know where to go, don't know where to turn, and sometimes we just need to hear that God is still doing what God does. And that God has not forgotten us. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm grateful for this opportunity to listen to this podcast all the way live from Kentucky.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Big salute. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. All right, MJ, if you don't mind, please tell people how they can find, follow you, get a hold to you. If it's a program or something, a meeting they can show up at, you can let them know about that too.
You can find me on Facebook, of course, at Michael K. Jackson. You can email me, and my email address is yngpreach@gmail.com. Or you can go to our church's page that I man and that where I am the pastor, and that is Uttingertown Missionary Baptist Church. That is spelled UTTINGERTOWN Missionary Baptist Church. If I had a different telephone number, I would put it out there, but I'm busy enough. I don't need my phone ringing and text messages that I probably will not respond to, so it's easier just to reach out to me on Facebook or email me. And of course, those are I don't have Snapchat, I don't have any of those extras. I'm just, you know, a Facebook and email guy.
That's
more than me.
That's what's up. All right, Anton, I'm going to pass the mic to you right now because I know it's probably some stuff that you want to say to MJ before he gets out of here. So we're going to back off and give you the mic.
That's pretty much it, man. I just wanted to thank you for coming out and speaking to the people and, you know, the motivation. I look forward to achieving some of the stuff you have been finally achieved. And stay motivated, man. Keep teaching people. Keep elevating and keep growing. And that's about it for me.
Man, I really appreciate the opportunity to share. It's been an honor. I will say that even though the system is not designed for us, you got to trust the process. There were many times where I threw my hands up. I said, I'm not doing it. It's taking too long. But I had some people behind the scenes pushing me and encouraging me to keep pushing forward. And that's what kept me was my family and my close friends. They were like, you got this. Stay with it. You know, you get through one hurdle, there's another one. And it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating, but I had some people in my corner, had some people praying for me, had some people pushing me. And, you know, I'm thankful to them because I would have given up. I would have given up, but I'm glad that it's over.
That's what's up. And that's a motivation for all listeners out there. You know, if you can't get no encouragement out of that, then there's something wrong with you.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
We're going to get into some of this Carrie Thomas stir. You guys, you know how I love my Carrie Thomas. We're going to play that, and we're going to come back and get ready to get up out of here. Okay? Hang on tight. Don't go nowhere. You guys, before we get out of here, I would just like to say that we want to give our condolences to the Phillips family in Toledo, Ohio. Tragic event took place there. I don't know if you guys saw it. Two children are dead and one is still in critical condition. They had the suspect in custody in the South Toledo shooting, and Anton had the details on this story, and because it's still developing, you know, as we speak. But Anton, you want to give us a little background on what happened with the kids?
Yeah, it was one story circulating yesterday, but today the news did report that a husband and wife are separated. The dad had been trying to get the kids for a while because the mother stayed in one of the community projects that was kind of unsafe, that's known for a lot of crime activity. But for some reason yesterday, the wife's boyfriend shot the kids, and two of them died, and one of them is in critical condition.
Oh, you got to be kidding
The man was arrested.
Wow.
They don't have a clear reason why he did that.
Well, damn.
Big man shoot his
and
ass,
mother,
too?
Well,
man,
the mother,
that's
called 911 and said that her boyfriend just shot her kids. But again, it was an explanation why.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
But at the same time, when the police show up on the scene, if you got any firearms on you, well, he done already shot two kids. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how they do up there in Toledo.
It's
but
not
man.
Clear. He probably didn't have a firearm. I'm almost sure he didn't. I'm not sure how they apprehended him, but they did apprehend him yesterday, shortly after the crime. And he was booked into Lucas County Jail. So I'll be updating probably Tuesday what's going on with that.
Yeah, right. Please do that, man.
Yeah,
it's a damn
man,
shame
man.
When grown people hurt kids, man. How the hell do you hurt a kid because you mad about something some woman or some man did? And grow the fuck up.
Right. Right.
I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I hate these grown people be setting up these kids. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all done heard about the deal with Casanova. You know what I'm saying? And if you haven't, you know what I'm saying, I'll be sure to point that out for the Trill Blogs. But, you know, they set up a little 15-year-old boy to get murdered because he was getting more street money than the grown niggas. You know what I'm saying? So I'm flabbergasted on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, for real. Grown people need to stop messing with these kids and fucking with these kids. You know what I'm saying? Leave these kids alone and let these kids be kids. You know what I'm saying? For real. Trill.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sergeant Bob, though. And this is the truth. When a kid, and I know it's hard to say, and there's a lot of kids that are raising themselves because the parent is absent, maybe
yeah.
working all the time, maybe
yeah.
An addict or something, whatever the case may be. And once they put themselves in grown people positions, that is where the problem come in at. Because if you have a child that's in the streets selling dope, he is no longer a child. He or she is no longer a child. They're a drug dealer. And with that comes certain things. You know what I'm saying? So my heart goes out to them. But at the same time, this is what I want young people to see and understand. Be a kid as long as the law allows you to be a kid. And I mean in every aspect of that. Because the system is waiting for you. The system wants your information. They want you logged in at whatever cost. And I salute, and it's a lot of black brothers that never made it into the system. And I would like to take the time on this broadcast to salute you. Because
mm-hmm.
you're not in the system, and the,
mm-hmm.
and it's designed and it's set up for every one of us to be in the system. And I salute y'all, you know, for putting
mm-hmm.
in that work and going through the extra struggle and just really putting up with the bullshit to get to where you are today. But
and
I just wanted to add.
Oh, yeah, and I did want to take a moment of silence for the 2-year-old. The 4-year-old and the 5-year-old that was shot last night.
Damn.
I'm just pissed off now, man. Got me
man,
pissed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, we can do that right now, you guys. We're just going to pause for a moment and take a moment of silence for these kids. I just want to explain to you that Amir Phillips, 5-year-old, and Gabriel Phillips, 1, both died at the hospital. Ashton Phillips, 4, remains in critical condition. So there's still, you know, prayers can be going up right now, and they need to be going up anyway for the family itself, but especially for Ashton because
right now he is fighting for his life. So we'll take a moment of silence right now and salute. Okay, Anton, we'll pass it to you now.
Hey.
Well, I am just off work. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I am walking up Cottonwood Avenue in the freezing cold.
How cold is it?
I had a very productive day, but I had to stop and grab my money at the ATM. That's where y'all heard me getting dropped off at. And Lyft is not working in good old Toledo right now. So I'm taking my trip from the bank home in the cold. So I ain't got
to
take
that
moment.
Trying to hold the phone. Lord have mercy. But
you're gonna be an icicle, bro.
Hey, the guest we had tonight and the information tonight was very, very important to me. So it's worth it. You know, all the struggle, this is part of the story. So I wasn't gonna not be on this call for anything. So it's just one of them things. I'm good.
That's right.
Well, I hope
and
so,
salute, salute to you too, Anton, out in the cold, walking like that, and applause for our guest, Pastor Michael Jackson. You know?
Yeah. Pastor Michael Jackson.
That's what's up. You guys, we're going to get out of here, and we want to tell everybody thank you for tuning in to Total Blackness on tonight. We will have Real Talk Roundtable on Tuesday. In the house on Tuesday, so y'all make sure y'all come out and check Quick Out 635 Productions. So y'all make sure y'all be in the building at 8 p.m., okay? He's going to be over here with us for Real Talk Roundtable. And the other side, we'll do a season finale on Wednesday. A great show for you guys to come to on Wednesday at 8 p.m. as well. Okay, you can follow the Tweety Bird Central on Instagram, Tweety underscore BYRD underscore Central. So you can find all of us over there. We're all connected to that. So just look for us over there. And we are out of this rag last.
Okay. Trio
data.
Trio.
You know what I'm saying? Straight like that.